this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And I am joined by your co-host and my very good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson, who is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. Together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And that's what we talk about on this podcast: wellness for the patient, wellness for the practice, and wellness for the practitioner. Now, today, you know, I just said how we've helped thousands of dentists, dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And actually, this past weekend, we had about 20 dentists coming from all over the country to do our Lightside Live in-person two-day workshop. And so we'd love to just walk you through some of the learnings, the feelings. Martin and I are still walking on high ground right now. I mean, we still just feel amazing after this week. And it's really the reason why we do this podcast, the reason why we do what we do. So, Martin, how are you feeling after this last week?
I'm feeling amazing. I mean, I went from the high of Lightside Live into my birthday, and here we are the day after that recording. It's been a good week, and it's wild, because if we turn back the clock to pre-2020, nobody would even think of doing this, let alone attend this, let alone be open to participate. It's really wild.
It's a good point you brought up. It shows how the dental industry, and really every industry, is changing. Mental health in general is more talked about.
Yeah.
But even when mental health was starting to be talked about in the grand scheme of things and with just general consumers, I think there was still this stigma going on in the dental and medical world, because how are you supposed to treat people if you're not okay? And I mean, there's some point to that, which is why we're doing this, because you're a better practitioner when you are in a better position. But seeing that we had people from New Jersey, Arizona, Orange County, we had two from Kansas that didn't know each other, Illinois, Washington, San Diego, Wisconsin, Northern California. We had people from all over the country flying in to take a two-day workshop about mental health in dentistry.
Yeah. And actually, the person from the farthest, New Jersey, that was their second time.
That's true. That's a good point that you mentioned, that is that we had 4 out of the 20 people retaking the class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we talk about in there, and what many of them have said, is mental health is just like physical health. You don't get in great shape and then never do anything again.
Yep.
This is maintenance.
Yep.
And, you know, reworking some of these topics, re-practicing some of these communication styles. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it in our course, but when I have some speakers that I love to see speak, clinical speakers, you know, Christian mm-hmm. Coachman, John Coyce, Joseph Kahn. I mean, a lot of them can give the same lecture, and I've seen it 25 times.
Yeah.
And I get something out of it every single time, because I don't take away 100% of this.
Mm-hmm.
You have a story about Dr. Spear, right?
Yeah. So, in the days that I used to go to every single seminar and workshop, it would always kind of make me chuckle, because docs would come up to me and they'd say, "Wow, this is a really great lecture. You must have changed a lot." And I'm thinking, and I would say to them, I'm like, "No, it's similar." And like, "Well, I don't remember this part." It's like, "No, we talked about that last time." And it was just always so fascinating to me that, you know, particularly as a coach, I notice my clients hear things differently depending on where they are in their lives. And that's true for learning as well. Depending on where you are, you pick up on certain things that serve you wherever you are in that moment. And so For the four that came back, they were commenting about some of the exercises, how you know, their answers were different or they were consistent, but the experience was so powerful because, as you said, it was like fitness and going to the gym to kind of revisit it. It was a really humbling experience.
Yeah, one of them gave the quote, you know, you never walk through the same forest twice, right? Because you're a different person. And a few of them said the same thing. I'm a different person now. I'm at a different point in my mental health journey now than how I was when I took it the first time.
Absolutely. And I think it'd be important to kind of give people an understanding of what it is we're actually doing. And so to kind of take a step back, the way it kind of started was that we met each other in 2020 and you shared with me your content and your framework, the acronym of the word Ripple, which we'll invite you to talk about here in a second. Yeah. And I looked at every element of Ripple and I thought to myself, holy smokes, wait a minute. I have exercises, facilitatable, is that a word? Exercises to breathe life into this. And so we just kind of sat down and looked at each other and said, let's do this in person. And so why don't you kind of share what Ripple is so that people can get an understanding of why this is so impactful? Because we're not here to make a commercial for our workshop. We're here to kind of share with everybody what it is we did relative to why it was impactful.
Yeah, and the takeaway. So Ripple, R-I-P-P-L-E, starts out with realizing. Mm-hmm. First, we have to realize there's a problem in dentistry. We have to acknowledge that it's challenging. We have to have the awareness of this. And that is really the first step, I think, in solving any problem. Mm-hmm. A problem understood is a problem half solved. Mm-hmm. And before you understand the problem, you have to realize there is a problem.
Yep.
And with me, early in my career, I didn't even realize I had a problem until I was so far down. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're just realizing that there's a problem, that's a huge step. And if all you do is that, you've already made a huge step. So well, go ahead.
And the funny thing was, there was one of the docs that came that didn't necessarily realize that there was a need for a change because his wife was the one that made me sign up, which I thought was very fascinating.
Yeah, and we'll read an email that they sent to us a little bit later, which was pretty heartfelt. Some of the breakthroughs that we had.
Yeah.
So Ripple. The first one is R, realize. The second one is identify. So you have to identify what your actual triggers are in dentistry. Is it when a patient comes in and says that, you know, they hate dentistry? Is it when your hygienist is late? I mean, some things are so niche and nuanced to what we do in dentistry, but until you sit down and write them down, you may not realize what they are. Yep. And one of the things Martin talks about is living between the stimulus and the response. But if you don't know what the stimulus is, there's no way to live between the stimulus and the response.
Exactly.
So that is I. The next is purpose and perspective. Very important module in what we do and in anybody's life, which is finding your purpose outside of your profession. So many of us dentists think that our purpose in life is to be a dentist. And I'm here to tell you, it may sound great and you're making people smile, but you can't have your purpose in life attached to a profession where you're bound to quote unquote fail. An implant's gonna fall out, a veneer's gonna crack, a tooth's gonna be sensitive, a root canal is gonna get reinfected because your whole self-worth will go down the drain, and ask me how I know.
Yeah.
Next. Exactly. So that's R-I-P-P. Next is L, to learn. So we need to learn daily habits outside of the practice that allow us to be our best self. We call this the dream sequence: diet, relationships, exercise, appreciation, meditation, and sleep. We go through the entire, I'm not all of it because there's a ton of research, but we go through a lot of research in the course and how we can make healthy choices that are science-backed that prepare us to be the best we can be in our practices and in our homes. Mm-hmm. And then the last module is E, elevate. So that is really about leadership. That's about a lot of what Martin talks about, which is practice management for mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, Martin and I are not consultants. He is a coach.
Yep.
I am a, you know, dentist thought leader, let's say. I wouldn't even call myself a coach necessarily. We are here to help people manage their practices for them, for yep. mental health. Most consultants come in and say, let me tell you how to make more money. Now, mm-hmm. sometimes when you're making money, you are in a poor place in your mental health. Mm-hmm. We want more money to be a side effect
yeah.
of managing your practice for you. So
yes.
ripple, realize, identify, purpose and perspective, learn and elevate. And that's the framework that we go through for the entire course.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super fun. And there's so much it, you know, in your online course that, you know, parts of which we bring to life when everybody's kind of in place. But even the, you know, as we go through talking about practice management from a mental health perspective, and, you know, you go into some of the elements of, you know, making dentistry more predictable and the areas to think about that from a clinical as well as from a verbal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things that talk about takeaways, one of the things that it seemed like, because we asked people to raise their hand, I think it was somewhere along the lines of 90% of those who hadn't taken either one of our courses before never thought about the idea of removing the term insert or final insert
Seat.
appointment or prosthetics. And it's every single appointment is a try-in, right? And so everybody really seemed to love that. And just, you know, sometimes it's just the real simple things that are the most impactful.
Yeah.
And it's literally just a different choice of words. And I don't know about you, but I thought this time, even more than the others that we did, people really love that. They were like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that before.
Right. Yeah.
It just takes all the stress off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. 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 No, that's right. So what Martin said, we had people from different areas, different times in their life. We had a few dentists that were in their first few years out of school. And I
yep.
love when we have those, you know, baby dentists, newer
yes.
dentists,
yeah.
because we get to catch them early.
Yep.
We get to start with good habits, with a good mindset, with a good goal. And the goal is that they don't have to go through what many of us went through after practicing for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years sometimes. Let's catch them early. And as a juxtaposition of that, we also had a dentist that was already retired. We had a dentist that was about to retire.
Yep.
And then we had people in the middle that have been practicing for 15 years, 10 years. Some just opened their practice, some are associates. And what was so cool to see, and actually not just for us, but what they all said,
yeah,
was it's so nice to be in a group of dentists where everybody's being vulnerable, everybody's being honest, there's no bullshit here. And
yes.
it was just like, we go to courses that were around other doctors, and there's some fellowship happening there, but there's also, how do I describe it? There's like a thick crust around us that we never get to the inside, to the real inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if we think back in each one of the versions of this course, there was always something in the beginning where that first person said something vulnerable that kind of blew the door off of everything. Ironically enough, in this course, I think, I'll see if you agree with me, I think it was when that one person said, my wife made me come. And it, like, everybody chuckled at it, but then the individual kind of went forward as like, well, you know, if she's really seeing this in me, then, you know, I'm, you know, happy to be here and see where this is going to go. And, you know, other times there was discussions of individuals having really dark places and contemplating suicide. And there always seems to be that one person that kind of blows the door open at each time we do this, don't you think?
Yeah. So I'd like to read an email, and I'll keep it private so that,
Right.
you know, we're not releasing any names here, but there was a dentist whose spouse signed him up for the course and he came saying, okay, whatever, she wants me to come. And afterwards he wrote us this email. I would like to applaud and thank you both for an amazing, fun-filled course. As I mentioned yesterday, this has been the best course I have taken over the years, and I am excited to start a new chapter in my life. So he's been practicing for almost 20 years,
Yep.
and he told me in one of our video testimonials, this is the best course I've taken in 20 years, which is such a crazy compliment from Martin and I to
Yes.
heal. This weekend brought to light a lot of awareness, step number one, realize in things I need to work on personally and professionally. It was so nice to be surrounded by like-minded dentists that I could connect with and that shared common trials and tribulations. Let's talk about that when I'm done reading this, okay? I felt safe enough with our group to open up and share my story. Dental school teaches us to hold a handpiece, and I think subjects like what you cover need to be at the forefront of dental education. Dentistry is an isolating field, and it's nice to know I'm not alone. The ripple effect is real, and I can't wait to share the info that I have learned. We should also talk about that. I'm excited to look back at this weekend a few years from now and see how it changed my trajectory in life and those around me. Wow. Even when I realize that, even when I'm reading it now, it's like so powerful. I don't think Martin and I could be doing anything more rewarding in dentistry.
Absolutely. And it's something I'm just so very, very proud of. And we need to give these people so much credit for having the wherewithal to say, you know what? I'm coming because I believe there's a different way. I want there to be a different way. I want there to be a different tomorrow. And you know, when you do realize that, okay, well, maybe there is another way. I may not know how to do that yet, but let me at least, you know, see what's going on. Well, that's really when the magic happens.
What was surprising for me was that we had so many people that hadn't taken our previous courses, didn't really know who we were even. It wasn't
That was
like,
interesting. Yeah.
oh, I've been following you for like, the last 5 years. I love everything. No, a lot of them, we were kind of new to them and they
Yeah.
signed up for this course. And, it's not inexpensive. It's,
No.
almost all of them, besides a few, flew in, took
Yep.
time out of their practices, out of their lives. And so you have to give them a lot of credit. And it goes back to what you and I have been saying. If there's anything in your life that you put time, effort, and money into, you're going to get better. But
Yep.
most of us don't put time, effort, and money into mental health or
Absolutely.
communication skills or leadership skills. And I bet you all of these dentists that put time, effort, and money into it will get better at this, and they're going to thrive because of it.
Oh yeah, 100%. In fact, one of them saw me at CDA Presents and actually signed up before I even finished that lecture back
Oh,
in May.
wow.
But yeah, like I never have my phone even on me when I speak, but it was
Yeah.
because the individual introduced themselves and said, I'm going to take your course. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, great. Well, if they sign up, great. If they don't, that's okay too. And I pick up my phone. It's like, no, they already signed up.
Yeah. Well,
So,
let's talk about a few of the things that were on this email.
yeah.
One of the things that this doctor said was being surrounded by like-minded dentists that I could connect with and share common trials and tribulations. In addition, he said it's an isolating field and it's nice to know I'm not alone. This was a recurring topic that just to feel like I'm not alone was a huge amount of value. It was like some of them, if almost to come to the course just to know they're not alone was worth the price and the effort and the time of taking the course.
Well, and let's take a step back here about how humanistic of a trait this is. And talk about the power of community, because whether you're talking about addiction, whether you're talking about, I mean, when I went in,
I'm
I
thinking of
graduated.
new moms, like when my wife goes to like a new mom meetup after, our two kids, like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one that like was waking up six times a night and having trouble breastfeeding and doing this and doing that.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you're from, et cetera. It's this humanistic experience. We create this, I'm going to call it illusion of aloneness, and we can create a reality of aloneness by not seeking out others, but we can also create magic when we seek out others. And so whether it comes to this addiction, other elements of self-identification, it just fascinates me, because I was thinking about that during the course, about, you know, how many times in my own life, for various reasons, in very different ways, did I feel alone? And then when I realized I wasn't alone, it like changed everything for me.
Yep.
It's wild. It's really wild.
I'm also looking at what this doctor wrote. The ripple effect is real, and I can't wait to share the info that I've learned. One of the things we talk about in the course is the ripple effect. The reason why it's called ripple is once people go through a process like this, where they master their mental and relational health, their leadership skills go up, all they want to do is tell other people about it. So they start rippling this positivity throughout our profession. And the goal is that this is a topic that everybody's discussing, not just Martin and I, but every Congress and every academy and every society. Even if it's a perio meeting and all they're talking about is perio, maybe there's one lecture, or during one lecture they talk about mental health, right? We just don't want the stigma. We don't want this to be hidden. And what we see time and time again is people that go through this process that have a big breakthrough. I mean, you think of me or you. We went through challenging times. We had a big breakthrough. Now we want to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, totally.
It's like Narain, who, and I know he would allow me to use his name, who came from New Jersey. He's been through my Lightside Academy. He's a member of Lightside Club. He called us and said, how can I help?
Yep.
Let me know how I can share my story, how I can mentor people. I am here to help you guys, because you guys helped me so much, and I just want to give back to our profession.
Yeah. And talk about the ripple effect. He came with somebody he went to dental school with.
That's a good point. Yeah, he brought someone who now will then ripple positivity into her micro community as well.
Yeah. It's almost, you know what's in my mind right now? This is, you may think I'm nuts. You probably already do. But I'm thinking of like how many people get really nervous or concerned to go to a restaurant all by themselves because they think other people are going to judge them. And does anybody else do that? And then when they finally do, they think, oh, that wasn't so bad, and I learned something. And it's just, it's almost like there's this invisible barrier that our colleagues need to get over, not necessarily coming to our course necessarily, but just embracing the idea of engaging in emotional and mental wellness, if you will, moving forward. Because it just, we recanted the story of one of our attendees who went to dental school, graduated the same year I did, 96, who told the story that one of the faculty members got up in front of the student body unsolicited one day and just basically said, hey, if you ever have any mental health challenges, don't seek out therapy because it's going to ruin your practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
And I've heard people talk about that. I've heard people say, you know, it'll go on your record, or, you know, patients can see this. First of all, none of that is true.
Correct.
But I think it's becoming so, mental health is so ubiquitous now. It's so talked about. I mean, my 8-year-old is learning about it in elementary school. They never talked about that when you and I were kids, right?
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people would prefer a dentist or a doctor or any professional that is more in tune with their mental health.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I know I would.
Whenever
I'm talking, you know, sometimes people ask me, what do you do? What are you doing? And I never get the, oh, wow, you know, I would never go to a dentist that does that.
Right.
And I think what it is, it removes some of the barriers of being doctor to patient and just brings you down to be human to human. And when you can make those human connections, that's what lasts for so long.
Well, and I would also argue even a step further, which is if you're understanding yourself and the way you react based upon certain thought patterns and so forth, we're all unique individuals, but it could very much give you a window into other people, because the truth of the matter is the body of my work is ubiquitous. most of the people I work with on a daily basis are within dentistry. But when I go work outside of dentistry into even corporate entities within dentistry, we're not talking about teeth. And so these are human conditions. And so when you start to become a study of the human condition, that's when everything can change. I remember one of our attendees mentioned the five love languages in the workplace.
Yes.
Right? And it's not five love language in the dental workplace.
In dentistry, yeah.
Or the automotive industry or aerospace. No, no, no. It's the five love languages in business. So it's just, I can tell you, Kyle, in all candor, for me as a solopreneur, everything changed for me when I truly embraced the idea that we are all unique and all the same at the same time. And we all have similar hangups, fears, concerns, et cetera. And when you accept that, and when you start to be open to it and seeing it even within yourself, you start to see it within other people. You're able to communicate and really connect with other people in a different way. And I believe that's why a lot of people connect with us, because we're more open. I mean, we're certainly not perfect, and we certainly have our blinders on about ourselves. Yet at the same time, we've done so much work to be more open. I think it just kind of attracts people to us in a way.
It's so true. It's like a lot of people, I think I heard Brené Brown say this, which is like, when you see somebody being vulnerable, you say like, wow, that person is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. when you're being vulnerable, you think, wow, I'm being so weak.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I know both of us, you know, we've both been very open in many public forums. But by the same token, I think, I know for myself, and I believe for you, because we know each other so well, we're more open in this environment for several reasons, one of which is to encourage the others to be open as well. Because if we can't model that behavior, then what could we be doing to people that are coming to us for the creation of this community and this?
And I have to say, I need to give you the award because you cried first this time. Usually it's me.
It is usually you.
But you beat me to it. So
yes, I even brought tissues. I didn't use them. I even brought tissues. Yes.
These courses bring out emotions.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I cried a few times. Some were happy tears, and some was reliving things that I've been through.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely depressed. I had anxiety. You know, I think the next step for me was the suicidal ideation. I didn't get there, but I think that's where I was going.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
And every time I tell the story, or sometimes when I hear other people tell their story, I start crying because I know what they're going through, because I was that low. And it's like I cry from empathy. And it's really hard. We had a dentist on Lightside Club, which is our twice monthly mastermind support group. And she was saying just a few weeks ago, I think I finally hit the depth of my burnout.
Yep.
And I immediately started crying because I remember that depth. And I know what she's going through. And it's horrible. I mean, it's terrible. I don't want anyone to go through that.
Yeah, it's a really, really low place. And kudos to her for identifying and realizing that. And she was sharing it in brotherhood and sisterhood with everybody that was on the call. And it's like one of the first things you said, even on this episode alone. It's like the first step to anything is realizing that you have a challenge. And so if you're in a place of greater connectedness, you could say, I think I'm at the depths of my burnout. Because if she wasn't, she wouldn't have been able to make that statement.
She wouldn't have even known that she was in burnout.
No.
You know, and this is someone who has taken courses. She's on our mastermind group. She has the support. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that she number one has the awareness and she has the support to say this, get it out. And she knows the tools already.
Yeah.
She just has to put them in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody expresses things differently too, because certain people are more verbal, other people are more quiet. You know, we had one person that, you know, shared with us later how much of an emotional roller coaster this individual was on during the course. And they, during the course, ended up reaching out to a family member they hadn't talked to in over a year just because of the course. They ended up getting rid of a toxic team member and hiring a new one, all within the 2 days of their course. We didn't know any of this was going on until afterwards. And the person was saying they were leaving in a better place. And how humbling that is to it just always reminds me, you know, between stimulus and response, there's a space. And as a facilitator, I feel so blessed to have had these experiences, to know in my soul that if I'm up there, either if it's one of my programs or our program, and there's somebody who's unengaged and quiet, et cetera, I have no idea what's going on. They could as easily think this is terrible as they could be in a place that is completely and totally transforming their lives. And it's selfishly, it's helped me be a better person, because we talk about this in the course and I talk about this in the body of a lot of my work, which is if we can go down the road of life in a more curious mindset versus a judgmental mindset, it is transformative. Because using the case of any attendee, lecture, workshop, doesn't matter, who's kind of sitting there with their arms crossed and are quiet, I could as easily say, boy, I wonder what's going on with them, as I could, boy, they hate me. They're looking down. They hate every minute of this. Like, I could go down either road. So it's a choice I'm making, and to be more present to the benefit of everybody else.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying that, and I was thinking of this participant who you're talking about, I would even expand that thought of curiosity versus judgmentalness with ourselves.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, we may be, as the facilitators, as the speakers in this case, think, gosh, you know, I must just not be engaging these people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
However, these could be the people that have the biggest breakthrough.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's like you're talking about this person. I mean, this person was a great participant, but, you know, they tended to stay to themselves a little bit, not raise their hand as much, right? And then we get this email saying how much they've progressed in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Just so impactful for us.
Yeah, it's really cool. It reinforces for me even more astutely that this is something that all of us need to take a collective responsibility to continue to talk about, continue to be open in whatever way you can. And if you're having a tough time and you're struggling, there's resources out there. There's a lot of resources out there. There's many, many more resources than just you and I. And so my personal message is, whatever difficult, dark, confining place you feel yourself in, please know that there's always a door you can walk through to go into the light. They're always.
That's right. One of my big takeaways, and we see this in every course that you and I give together for Lightside Live, is the Crucial Conversations exercise.
Mm, yeah.
And so maybe you could explain this exercise a little bit.
Yeah. So it got into this course because, and I have to thank you, you insisted, and I kind of poo-pooed it in the beginning. I said that over the weekend, I'll say it again here. But it's a very tangible framework that's based on the work of the book, Crucial Conversations. And the reason why it made it in there was because I talk about this all the time, because it's literally, if you look at all the categories of what people want my help with, that's number one, hands down. So it's a methodology to help you get out of an emotional space and understand that, yes, you can maintain a relationship and have a difficult or crucial conversation at the same time. And so we spent well over an hour introducing the framework and then giving people the opportunity to work through the framework using real life examples from their own reality to help them feel more empowered to address these difficult conversations. So it's a tangible, you know, framework that you can use personally, professionally, inside the office, outside the office, wherever you may go.
Yeah, in previous courses, we hadn't given this much time to this exercise, and people said like, I want to expand on this. I want to practice another one. I want to do this again. Oh my gosh, this was so cool. And so in this case, we really made the time to have that. I think it worked out really well. And I think what's crazy about this is you talk about a dental CE course that is talking about communication style, not necessarily with the patient, because there's some practice management courses that will talk about how to talk to patients. It's mostly about case acceptance or selling cases, whatever. But this is a framework that can be used with patients, team, your spouse, your kids, your gardener, your neighbor, your mother-in-law. And we had a lot of personal examples and we had some professional examples. So some examples, you know, are things like my patient is, or one example I can think of was my hygienist is finishing her pro fees a little early. And we had a few patients complain that this may, that I'd say like, you know, they're not taking the full time and I'd like to see another hygienist. And so just how this dentist can talk about this to their hygienist and not from an emotional standpoint, but from a science-driven fact standpoint and keep this relationship.
And the reason why it was stressful for that dentist is because this dentist liked the hygienist, felt the hygienist was capable and didn't really know how to handle it given the situation. Because if you think about it, if the situation was reversed, if they didn't think they were capable, if they didn't think they were doing a good job, that would actually be an easier conversation for many to be able to understand how to handle, not necessarily to handle, because either can be a little stressful in the moment, but this is all about how to handle it. It's typically when there's this dichotomy of situation versus the relationship reality, that's when people get most stressed out and don't know how to handle it. We had another dentist that didn't know how to handle their landlord because they had a great relationship with the landlord. The landlord had purchased the building a couple of years back and they didn't have a lease. And they're like, well, how do I deal with this? Because I don't want to leave. I want to stay. And, you know,
yeah, that's a good example. That was a good example. We hadn't had one that was talking to a landlord before. So it was nice to have that example.
Yeah. And then there was another example about like purchase, you know, practice purchase and that kind of stuff. So it was this really, cool swath of like different things. And I guess I've come to a realization here as we're recording this, which is, it's the times when things seem to be at polar opposites that we have the most trouble.
Expand on that.
Meaning like the example with the hygienist, it was a challenging situation and we really liked the hygienist.
Oh, right. So like a bad situation with a good person.
Yeah. and you know, these dichotomous mixes and there could be, you know, it could be billions of them, but interesting.
If you had a bad situation with not a bad person, but let's say just to make it easy, a bad situation with a bad person.
Yeah.
Very easy. Just tell them to screw off or turn around and never think about them again. If it's a good situation with a good person, also very easy, right?
Right, right.
But when you have a challenging situation with a person that you care about that you would like to continue a relationship with, that is really, I like that. You should make a slide like that. That one side is relationship and the other like positive relationship and the other side is like a negative situation.
You know, it's fascinating because this goes back to realize once again, because in some ways we talk about it, but I didn't breathe life into it the way we just have been discussing, because the authors talk about this fool's choice, that we think that we have to make a choice between having a conversation and keeping the relationship. That's the fool's choice. And the authors say, no, you can have both. But I hadn't ever thought about sharing it in that way, that the reason why we get so afraid and the reason why we think that there is this fool's choice is because of this dichotomy of reality versus relationship. And so see, when you teach, you learn as well. So there you go.
I also saw something recently since our course. I think it was yesterday that I saw this on Instagram. And it's funny how when we give our course, when I first started my course, which, you know, Ripple is based on, I thought that each module or each section was kind of individual. And what I realize is how much everything relates back to everything else.
Absolutely.
So like when we talk about the dream sequence, diet, relationships, exercise, appreciation, meditation, and sleep, and that is for, you know, positive habits that puts you in a better mental health and physical health state so that you can be less reactive, so that you can be a better manager, so that you can have higher case acceptance, so that you can make more money, so that you can be a better father, or mother, or husband, or wife. And I saw this something the other day, an article talking about how eating enough protein helps your nervous system regulate. So basically what they're talking about is how your diet can relate back to your regulation, aka living between the space.
Sure.
And so it was like module 4 was going back to talk about module 2.
Yeah.
In this case.
Yeah. No, totally. Totally. Totally.
And how purpose, the purpose and perspective module, is also so related to module 2 and module 1 and module 5. Because once you separate your purpose, you're better at talking with patients about complications because you remove yourself from the identity of just being a dentist. And it's so funny, and I guess not funny, but it's profound for me to see how everything relates back to each other. It's not just these individual things, which in a good way means that you get this flywheel going to where you've changed your identity. So that helps with your case acceptance and your eating right and exercising, which makes you show up better, which helps your back not hurt, which means that you don't have back pain anymore. It's like everything is connected.
Yep.
So you really get this synergistic effect. I guess I used to think it was more linear and now that it's been, I mean, I started talking about this in 2018, but really got serious in 2020, you know, 4 years of teaching this, I realized just how synergistic this mental health journey can be.
Yeah, no, it's 100% right. And I almost feel like you're going back to similar conceptually to what I said before about how we're all unique, but all the same. I mean, when I do a lot of team cohesion workshops, whether that's based on communication cohesion or communication skills, I very often talk about Maslow's hierarchy and Len Cioni's 5 dysfunctions of a team. And I won't go into it here, but the point is that there are so many parallels between the two of them that are just mind-blowing relative to understanding what we need from a Maslow perspective to really be a high functioning individual to, you know, to achieve our goals ultimately versus what ends up getting our way in our way as a team to not achieve those goals based upon certain behaviors. And it's just, it's so fascinating to me because it all runs together.
Everything comes together. It's like, it's such a cool thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So we're bringing this into land, and I would like to hear your key takeaways or what you're most proud of or what you'll remember about this course.
I think I'm most humbled by all of these people willing to give it a chance. I think I'm most proud of the way you and I have come together as teachers and listeners to allow a space to be created for them to fulfill what it is they were coming to us for to begin with. The idea that we had people that wanted to come back again, and there were others who couldn't make it for date conflict reasons, that wanted to come back again, not talking about margins, but about mental health. So
yeah, I'll echo what you're saying. I think for me, it was definitely humbling to see how fast people could progress.
Yeah.
In 2 days.
Yeah.
There was huge breakthroughs. You know, we had people, like you said, that fired employees that were causing problems, reached out to family members, reconnected with people, talked to employees and gave them gratitude. Mm-hmm. And like, these are huge steps that are taken quickly, let alone what they're going to do in the next 3 months, 6 months, or a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah.
And also just the fact that we could have 20 people from
mm-hmm.
all around North America to come and, like you said, not really talk about crown design or 3D printing or guided surgery or veneers. I mean, we did in passing, of course, when giving examples and case studies and that, but not focusing simply on the clinical side.
And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge Glidewell for hosting us and opening their doors to us. I mean, here's the largest dental lab in the world, the most sophisticated from a vertical integration and manufacturing perspective, that was hosting a course not talking about anything they sell.
Yep.
And treated us like VIPs, rolled out the red carpet.
Yeah, we went on Mr. Glidewell's 100-foot yacht.
Yeah. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, we had the other thing I want to mention here too, because for those who know my background, I spent many years in corporate dentistry, and we had some CE support from Dental Warranty. And one of their executives joined us for this course, and he made some pretty effusive comments after it was all done about how it gave him a window in a dentist that he never, I think his exact words were, that I never would have understood had I not been here to witness it. And I thought that spoke volumes, because he's a very bright guy. And I thought that was very telling. And I didn't share this with you, but it really started to make me think about my background in corporate dentistry and all the people that I've interacted with and worked with. And there's so many incredibly bright people on the business, corporate, product side of dentistry. But what a different profession we'd be if we all could understand each other a little bit better.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you and I being advocates for the dentist, sticking up for people.
Yeah.
You start to see who the corporate products and companies are that actually want to support dentists.
Yeah. Totally.
And so, it was cool to have Dental Warranty there and have them provide CE credits for us. Yep. Big thanks to them. So, all in all, if you missed it, I'm sorry you missed out. But the good news is that we're doing another one. So I'm not sure if by the time this comes out, the date will probably be up. But just go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to our links, and you should be able to find our live in-person workshop. It's probably going to be, if you're listening to this around when it comes out, it's probably going to be in the spring of 2025. Yeah. So we will be announcing that soon, and everything will be up to date once we have it on Wellness and Dentistry.
And regardless, if you're interested, we started a wait list a long time ago, just so that if you want to be in the know about when and where, you will be the first people to know. So we have probably 2 to 3 classes worth of people in number that are already on the wait list. So if you want to be advised of when our next edition of Lightside Live will be, just go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on Lightside Live, and then click on the wait list, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah. And then you'll be the first to know and get access to the first tickets available, because we do limit this course.
Yep.
This is not a course we can do with 50 people or 100 people. This is a small group course So we do have limitations on this, and especially where we are in where we do these courses. So that was fun, Martin.
Yes.
And thanks everybody for listening today. We hope you got a little insight into what happens in these 2-day workshops and just how powerful they can be. And we appreciate you for listening to Wellness and Dentistry. If you haven't sent this to a colleague, send it to a colleague. I know if Martin sends me a podcast, I put it on my to-do list and listen to it. The more we grow this, the more value we can bring, and the more we can bring in more value to all of our listeners. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take care.